Well, from what the Lord, there's so many markers. We're going to be about to, does lunch at 4 sound okay? Or? No. No. How many were not here yesterday morning? See, okay. That's what I thought. Okay, I'm going to review. We're going to do it a lot quicker because he's got some more things he wants to do today. But there's no way that we can leave you without some of this that we laid the foundation. And then those of us that were here, it's good to see some things again, okay? We're going to a new understanding. Now, the foundation verse today, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 55, I believe it is. For many years, these few verses right here have been some of my very favorites. And I have many lessons that I've taught using these four verses right here as the foundation. But since I've started understanding what I don't know what I'm going to call this yet, maybe the fourth dimension, the realm of the spirit, I don't know what it's going to be yet, but since I've started seeing this, so many verses, they mean so much more to me now. And these illustrations, I think, are simple, and I think that's God. Because he's very good at taking complex things and getting it down where we can understand it. Amen? Amen? So let's look at this. It's Isaiah 55, verse 8. I can't even hardly read this now without... I see the whole design, everything that we went through yesterday, and we're going to quickly do again today. Boy, is this true. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, I would love to go on and finish this chapter, but I just want to capture that right there. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. All right, so we're going to do our little illustration again today. They didn't leave me an obstacle. I'll use one of these. We're going to have a geometry lesson. Somebody lock the door. You mentioned geometry, everybody runs, you know, math. Okay. We're going to do a simple geometry lesson, talking about how God's ways are higher than our ways. We live in a three-dimensional world. Everything that we're familiar with has height, width, length, and height. Let's do it that way. Three dimensions, width, length, and height. Let's do an imaginary thing, though. Let's think about a universe that only had length. And for teaching illustration, we've got this nice blue line here. A blue line, really, definition of a line is really it's a series of dots. Okay? The smallest form of spatial geometry is a dot. A dot really with no space. Okay, I don't want to get too technical. But then a line is a series of dots. Now, the pure line has no height, no width. A pure mathematical line only has length. Let's imagine a universe. We're going to call it Lineland. And in that universe, there's only length. There is no concept of width. There is absolutely no concept of height. Now, I know you're going to see me walking, and I have height and width. I've been working on the width, okay? But anyway, but really I'm a dot. You know, and mathematically speaking, I would be a dot, and I'm moving along this line. And I'm happy in my little universe. And as long as I stay on my line, I can function, and I can go back and forth, and everything is great, you know? And maybe I'm an educated. This is called Lineland. I went to Lineland University. I understand all the physics of my world and everything that is possible. I absolutely know. I understand it. I even went to seminary. I understand what is physically possible, and I understand what is possible with God. And I'm just so happy, and everything is good until suddenly there's an obstacle of some kind in Lineland, and I come to it. Now remember, in my universe, there is no such thing as width. There's no concept of that. There is no such thing as height, like to step over it. There's nothing like that. In line land, there is only length. This is an insolvable, absolutely insolvable problem. The rest of my life, I'm going to be hindered by this. There is no way that even God can't help me now. And then suddenly, there's a man that's from Flatland. Now, Flatland, where's my plane? Hand me the thing. Yes, here it is. Flatland is more than Lineland. Flatland not only has length, Flatland has width. But there's no height. And there's no depth. You got that? This gentleman, he lives in Lineland. No, excuse me. Flatland. He lives in Flatland. Now, he's invisible to me. He is. He's from another realm. But he can see me. He sees me keep bumping up against this thing. You know? And he's kind of a merciful person, you know? And to me, it's insolvable. It's insolvable. I'll never be able to get past this. And he's going, my ways are higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And he just takes me. And by the way, all the other Linelanders, as soon as he moves me, I disappear. They can't see me. And they're all going, oh! And he's going, brothers. And he just brings me around and sets me on the other side. And I never did see him. And suddenly I reappear. And Philip was found at Azotus. By the way. Anyway, we'll get there. And this is great. What would we do? I worship you. Your ways are higher. I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, the trouble of it is, though, now he lives. Where'd I get that? Over here. He lives in Flatland. And he can run all around here because in his world there's length and width. Look at him. He can go way over here. He can come around here. And he's educated. And he understands. He's been to university. And he's been to seminary. And he knows everything that is possible physically. And he knows everything that is possible even with God. And everything is wonderful in his world until he comes to a circle. Now remember, there's no height. There is no height. There's no depth. And he wants to get to the center of the circle. But in Flatland, there's no doors. He goes all the way around it looking. Maybe there's an opening. Because there is absolutely no mathematical, no physical, no possible way for him to enter that. And he's going, this is impossible. With Jesus, you know, Jesus said, the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. So there's another benevolent being that he can't even see. And he's watching this man's dilemma. He keeps bumping up against the circle. He's trying to get in the circle. It's impossible. It's impossible. But this man says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. There are things possible you've never conceived of. I come around on this side. And he's going, he's bumping in, bumping, bumping. And finally he says, would somebody out there help me? And this one from our world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what was impossible is suddenly possible.
Amen. Now I'm trapped.
Now he's trapped. Okay. We're going to free you, my brother. You're free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, Bronk. Now this man, we're going to call him, he lives in Earthland. He's a three-dimensional person. He's one of us. And he's running around. He understands. He has been, you haven't really, but we're going to pretend he's been to seminary. He's an educated man. He understands the physics of Earth. He understands everything that is possible. And he's pretend we've been to seminary and we know everything that's possible with God. I need this chair again. I don't want to make Jim stand the whole service. Now remember this, all you young aspiring preachers. Whenever you are ministering in another man's church, always make the pastor God. Okay? Always make the pastor God. Okay. So here we are and we're three-dimensional. He can jump. He's got height. He's got depth. He's educated. He's good-looking. Smart guy. Sharp. Got a good-looking wife. Everything is great. And then all of a sudden, though, Now, we're going... Yes, sir. Okay. That's where we ended yesterday. Okay? Now, right now he's going to represent the old covenant. This is all your people before the cross. Okay? And they're fairly happy, but it's not really. It's a fallen world that they live in. Okay, you understand that? And they know that there's a God. And they're trying to relate with God. There is a God in another realm. Now, this is the one who really wrote in Isaiah. It's through the prophet Isaiah said, "My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts." As man begins to relate to this God says, "I want you to stop sinning." And man says, "I don't even know what sin is." Remember the guy in Romans 7? He says, "I wouldn't even have known it's wrong to covet." I mean, who knew? You know, because man is what he is. And all man really knows is what he knows in this natural world. Okay? So, God, I don't even know what sin is. So the first thing God does, who's the Holy Spirit? Alfonso, come here, be the Holy Spirit. You've done it for me before. Alfonso, my friend from Peru, who now lives in Ohio. Glory to God. Going to represent God. Now, your brain starts leaking out your left ear right here, because now here's God the Father. Here's the Holy Spirit. We're going to get God the Son here in a minute. Here, okay, come here, God the Son. You right here. Come on. You look like... doesn't he look like Jesus? Come on up here. I don't know. He's got a beard anyway. You got to have a beard, you know. If you're going to represent Jesus, you got to have a beard. Now, see, our brain starts leaking out our left ear right here because we've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all separate, all one. And my brain goes... what? But it's because we're from this three-dimensional world. God is doing his best to unveil himself, reveal himself to us. So we just have to accept it, okay? I just have to accept that. Well, here's our earthlander. Here's our earthlander right here. And God says, stop sinning. And he said, I don't even know what sin is. So the first thing God does, by his Spirit, you're the Holy Ghost, he sends man... through the prophets, his word. Here's my law. Here's my word. This is what sin is. Don't you try and figure out what it is. I'll tell you what sin is. Okay, you can step back for a minute. And man now has that he knows what sin is. This is the law. And he tries to keep it. You know, with my mind, he says, oh, I love this. I love God. I'll keep this. And he does everything that he can trying to keep it. And there's just one problem. Can't keep it. Nobody could keep it. Down through the centuries, man kept trying to keep it. And he's, I don't know what's wrong. There's something wrong. The dilemma of the guy in Romans 7, he says, with my mind, I agree that your law is holy and just and good. I wouldn't even have known it was wrong to covet unless I found it in your law. But he says, I can't. The good that I would, I don't wind up doing that, and that thing I swore I'd never do again. Honey, you better kill another sheep, you know. I did it again. Oh, God, help me. That's a good prayer always. Help me, Lord. Help me. That's one of my favorite prayers. And God does. So what he does, he sends the visitor. See, now we didn't get into the light line today. You got to understand, the very first thing that God said when he was redoing the earth was, light be. Above the light line, there is no time. Albert Einstein proved that with his equations. Above, time stops. That's where God lives. Somewhere above that light realm. Let's call it the realm of the Spirit. I've got him sitting over there, but it may not be physically any different from us at all. It may be dimensionally different. It may be universally different. I don't know. I just call it the realm where God lives. But there's no time there. You got that? There's no time there. All right, everything above that light line, everything is different than below the light line. All right, so man finally comes to this, I can't keep it, you've got to help me. So God sends forth a visitor, his son, first manifested in the womb of Mary. This life, turn to 1 John, oh, give me that. Couldn't find my Bible. This man took my Bible. I'm sorry to keep you up here so long, but John wrote later about what he saw. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life from that realm was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Okay? You got that? Now hold on. You still got the law. Now, this man, the earthlander who's not born again, all of us, representing all of us, we get to watch during the four Gospels the life. We saw it. We touched it. This man, the first thing we saw, this man, he could keep God's law. He could walk without sin. For 30 years he lived on planet Earth without sin. And we said, we've never seen anyone like this before. That alone would be amazing enough. And what was different about him than everybody else? His life was from God. This life was from the earth. This is the man from heaven. This is the earth man, earthy. This is the fallen man. This is the original man, if you'll allow me, the original life that was manifested in Adam before we watch. And this man, he's able to keep this. He's able to keep God's law just by the power of the life that's in him. But now notice, this really dawned on me one day. For 30 years, Jesus walked through towns, walked through Nazareth. You reckon there was any blind people there? Sure there was. Reckon other kinds of sickness was in Nazareth? I try and picture Jesus, love with legs, compassion itself. And he'd have to walk by a blind man, maybe give him some money. But he couldn't do anything else. Religion will slap you right there, but it's the truth. Why didn't he do anything else? Because he couldn't do anything else. But that very day that Bronk was talking about, the day that Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, stand right there, that's perfect. I want to be John the Baptist for a minute. I get to be who I want. It's my story. But I did make Jim God. Come on now. See, it really is true. The reason Jesus, even John the Baptist didn't know why Jesus wanted to be baptized. He said, "Dear Lord, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me." But see, Jesus understood it. When John laid him down in the water, Jesus was making a visual vow to his Father. He says, "Father, I know why you sent me. This day I'm vowing to you, I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going all the way to death, Father. I am going to do what you sent me here to do. But Father, when John raises me back up out of the water, I'm demonstrating my faith in you. Your word has declared you will not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption. Father, I'm trusting you to raise me back up to new life." God looked on the heart that day and he says, "Done! I count it as done." Even though Jesus wouldn't physically go to the cross for another 3 years, God looked on the heart and he saw it was done. That's why when he says, "This day, this is my son," he might as well have said, "The first Adam is dead. Long live the last Adam." What did God do with the first Adam? He gave him dominion. You remember that? What does he do now with the last Adam? Holy Spirit, you come. Give this man dominion. And the first thing the Holy Spirit did was lead him to the devil. No. We're already here now. Love you, Pastor. Love you. And the devil tempts him and tries to get him all these temptations. But see, the last... Look at him. He's all red-faced now. The last Adam had to succeed where the first Adam failed. See, the first Adam failed the temptation. That's why he lost the dominion. And the devil got it by default. This last Adam, he's been anointed with the Holy Ghost now. And, yes, sir. He has to succeed. He has to overcome where the first Adam failed. And he does. Be gone. Get thee behind me. Anyway. Now, the Earthlander is still watching. We're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're watching this life. Now we watched it be sin-free. We watched that life able to keep the law, something we could never do. Now we're watching something else, because now these two work together. Everywhere they go, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, legs grow out. And it's the combination. If the Holy Ghost could have done it without Jesus, he would have done it before Jesus. It takes them both. Jesus is the agent of authority. The Holy Ghost is the agent of power. It takes heaven and earth to accomplish this. You understand that? We're watching it though. We're watching. Oh my God. All the things that we thought were impossible. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We were wrong. Look at all that is possible with our God. But it's only possible with Him. It's still not possible with us. Come back over on this side. I don't know why. I'm doing the best I can here. I've never done this either. But then the day comes when that cross does come. Hold out your arms. Jesus. He becomes the very Lamb of God. All of the sin back down through the centuries. All of the sin of Adam. He takes it upon Himself. He who knew no sin, He becomes sin. He who is health, He bore our sickness, carried our pains. He who is wealth, He allowed Himself to be stripped of every possession, even His clothes. On that cross, He bore our sin. On that cross, He bore our sickness. And on that cross, He bore our poverty. And you're young, so I'm going to ask you to lay down. Lay down. He died. We're not going to go into everything He suffered while He was underground. That's another day. But then they laid Him in a tomb. And we're watching all of this. And we thought, is it over? Is it over? One thing we know for sure, more is possible. But it's really not possible with us. Because we're still the same as we were before. We still can't keep God's law. But see, on the third day, I'll tell you. I'll lay there when you're teaching, okay? No, I'm teaching. When the price had been paid, apparently 3 days and three nights, God sends forth His Spirit again, the Holy Ghost. Now, let me ask you this. In fact, let's do it this way. I need my Bible again. Sure. Go to Luke 1. How was Jesus conceived the first time? Let's look at it specifically. Luke 1, verse 35. First off, Mary said unto Him, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Let us see precisely how that life was originally conceived. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, sometimes called the Spirit of the Father, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And you can read it in Hebrews. For the second time, God says, Thou art my Son. This day I have begotten thee. He's not talking about in the womb of Mary. He's talking about in the bowels of hell. The Holy Ghost, just touch Him. Put your hands right on His chest. Be alive! And there's a spirit resurrected from the dead. It's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the power. He's the one that overshadowed. A lot of doctrine, they say it's the Holy Ghost. No, He's the one that imparts that spirit. How do you say it? That brought it from death to life. That regenerated. It's a new spirit. It's the Spirit of Him placed on the inside of Him. And He's raised from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then He's glorified. He goes and He sits eventually at the right hand of the Father. Go stand at the right hand of the Father. We don't have another chair. So now we got God the Father, God the Son ascended into heaven. Trouble of it is, wasn't that wonderful? We're not changed. Still can't keep the law. But then one day somebody preaches Christ to you. And it says if you'll put your trust in Him, the same Holy Ghost that brought the Spirit of life to him. See it in your Bible. Go to Romans 8, 17. I am a good student, you guys. Romans 8, 17. Now here it is. Somewhere it is. Told you I got too many notes in here. I'm sorry. Romans 8, 11. I'm sorry. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. You remember when He was lying there dead? It's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that manifested that new Spirit on the inside of Him. The same Spirit, that same life that raised Jesus from the dead. Now look at this, look at it. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, not some diminished Spirit. The same life that raised Him from the dead is the same life that raises you from the dead. The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that's conceived in you, you shall be called the Son of God.
Praise God.
You're a son of God now.
Praise God.
A son of God now.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
All right? You know what he finds out? Now his flesh doesn't want him to believe this because he's still wearing the same fallen flesh. But what he'll find if he'll trust, he can now, where'd he go? He'll find out he can now keep the law. He can keep the law. He can walk righteously. He never could before. He says, those things I used to fall to, now they still tempt me. All of us know we're still tempted. But he said, where is this power coming from? It's coming from that new life on the inside. He says, I don't have to sin anymore.
Hallelujah.
That's what Paul was telling him in Romans 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you.
Yes.
Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Right. It's your choice. You didn't have a choice before. Now you have a choice.
Yes.
But still, when he walks by the beggar, he walks by the blind man, he still doesn't have any power to help them. But see, Jesus said one other thing before he left. He says, you tarry in Jerusalem, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Because once you make the commitment, I am your son. I will do what you've sent me here to do. I will yield to the life of Christ on the inside of me. As you do that and relinquish your life to Him, then the Holy Spirit, He teams up with you no less than He teamed up with Jesus. Once more, we've got Christ, the agent of authority, and the Holy Spirit, the agent of power. And I'm telling you, revival is the outcome.
Hallelujah.
The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Let me get my water. I'm so sorry I made you the devil, Dave. This one's mine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to introduce this. Does that visual demonstration help you?
Yes.
I don't know how long, and I don't know that I still fully understand it yet. We're fully walking in it. Let's say it that way. Listen. We keep thinking that Paul received something more than we did. We sure keep thinking that Jesus received something more than we did. But this Bible tells me, if I'm born again, it is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. If Christ didn't have to sin, flesh, shut up. I don't have to either. It's not diminished. You're a son, none diminished. Now Jesus is more than us. In His humanity, He is our oldest living brother, if you're born again. Now, we're never going to touch His deity.
Right.
You're not going to become God. You understand that? Sorry. But we are the sons of God. And we have been anointed with no different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. Now, the question comes down to whose life are you going to live, though? You're going to spend your life turning stones into bread for your own consumption? You going to use the giftings and anointings for your own gain? Or are you going to bow to Him? See, my Bible tells me my life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. I'm not going to live the rest of my life to the will of Gary. I'm going to live the rest of my life to the will of... Where'd you go? Where'd Jesus go? Raise your hand. I'm going to live the rest of my life to the will of Him that bought me. Amen? Now, with earthbound eyes, the Lord Holy Spirit told me one time, He says, with earthbound eyes, you struggle in confusion. You wail away at obstacles in all directions. You're not sure of my path for your life, not sure what to do. So you'll work really hard at a lot of things, but over a period of time, if you'll look back to where you started, you haven't gone very far. Boy, I can relate to that. He says, my Spirit will lift you up above, and you'll begin to see with spiritual eyes. It's almost like we saw there, every one of those dimensions, the one that could see from a higher plane had the answers. We can see from a higher plane because of who He has made us. Yes, sir. I'm trying to get used to this new tool here. I'm going to read you another little paragraph from something He said to me in the face-to-face documents years ago. See if I can do this now. Doing better. In 1998, the Lord was teaching me these very principles, but now they mean so much more to me than they ever did before. And He said to me, He says, many have known and have a reasonable concept that my Spirit is not limited by geographical location. In other words, we all know He can be everywhere at once, right? Holy Spirit is here at the same moment He's in Kenya, same moment He's everywhere. Most of my children have no difficulty with this, but most do have difficulty in understanding that my Spirit is not limited by time. 1,000 years ago is today to Him. 1,000 years from now is today to Him. This concept is hard for the finite man to comprehend. I said all that to say, this is what I'm getting at now. This makes so much more difference to me now. Understand this. Your spiritual mind is not finite. Let that sink in. See, the part of you that got born again is not your natural man. It's not your natural mind. There is a new spirit born on the inside of you. This spirit is made in the image of God. You have an infinite creature on the inside of you that has a mind from that realm, not this realm. I'm going to say it another way. It has a mind that is from above the light line. But you're living in a body that's below the light line. But your spiritual mind is capable of comprehending infinite things. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Somebody keeps stealing my Bible. It's over here now. Getting good exercise today. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I think this will mean so much more to you. It's been one of my favorite passages for years. Starting in verse 12. See, once that born again man, when it says now we have received, what he means is now that you're born again. Now we have received. Not the spirit of the world. And notice they got it right. That's a little less. Even the King James translators got that one right. Well, what's the spirit of the world? That was Bronk before the cross. That's the man that he only knows earthly things. That's the man that didn't even know what sin is unless God told him. It's just a natural man with natural things. I'm going to call him Earthhead. That man is Earthhead. Can I have one of the offering? No, okay. Can I borrow this pillow? May I please borrow this? Whose is this? I don't know. We don't know. Anyway. You'll see why I need it in a minute. We have received not the spirit of the world. That's the natural man before the cross. But once you're born again, you have received a spirit which is of God. Jim, go sit back up there just for a minute. I think it'll help him. You have the light. Remember, where God is above the light line. Or let's say it this way. It's that realm of the spirit. He is looking on us the same way a flatlander would look on a linelander. He is looking at us with our possibilities that are endless. And we think we can't know them. But this says, look what this says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that guy before the cross, the one who's not born again, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. It would be as foolish as a flatlander telling a linelander, just go around it. The linelander said, that's impossible. It's foolishness. You can't go around it. But the flatlander says, it's not impossible. Go around it. Here, let me help you. See? You see? The natural man, he can't receive these things. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Now get this. Get this. Neither can he know them. It'd be like trying to explain height to a linelander. They have no comprehension what you're talking about. You could just try your best. You'd never get it across to them. There is nothing in their natural universe to even relate to. Okay? They are foolishness under him. Neither can he know them. Now, why? Because they are what? Spiritually discerned. When I, for benefit of those that are listening and can't see what I'm doing, I got a pillow and that's about the size of my head. When I do this, church, when I hold this pillow up like this, that's Earthlander Gary talking. That's my natural mind. Okay? Just the natural Gary, the one that understands bees and trees and lilies and sheep and, you know, stuff like that. So when I hold this up, that's Earthlander Gary from talk. That's Earth head. That's Earth mind. Okay, so I come to God and I go, I'm going to need the Holy Spirit back, Alfonso. I'm going to need the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to talk. I mean, God, I got questions. I'm going to get a little bit ridiculous, okay? I need a new car, God. That's what I need. I'm praying to you, God. What I need is a new car. My old car is 6 months old. God, I need a new car. Besides that, I think I need a new car for every day of the week. I want a yellow one on Monday. I want a blue one on Tuesday. You can pick out the other colors. God, that's what I need. But see, I'm talking out of my earth head. Okay, this is my earth head. This is what I think I need. You know, other things. I'm making stuff up. Make my wife obey me, God. Make her obey me, I'm telling you, God. Well, that's earth head. God, he needed to talk past earth head. He needed to get past earth head and talk to his son. The one that's born on the inside of me. See, that his son on the inside of me is spiritual. And I'm actually from that realm. And God, he wants to help this creature, all right. But he can't do it if he has to go through earth head. So God, he says, I want to devise a communication method where we can go around earth head. We can get around earth head. And I, by my spirit, I'm going to be able to communicate with my son. Spirit to spirit. And it's a language created by my Holy Spirit that will communicate my true thoughts to my son so we can talk. Now, as my son and I communicate, eventually, my son will communicate those understandings to Earthhead. So hopefully, Earthhead, little by little by little, is transformed by the renewing of my Earthhead. We are transformed by the renewing of the earth head, yes. Until maybe eventually we could actually hear a sentence from God and understand it. But anyway, most of us are not there yet. So, I need a earthhead. I need a new car, God. That's what I need. Give me a car. God starts communicating with his son who lives on the inside. And son begins to understand what this fool really needs is to quit yelling at his wife. His car is fine. What he really needs, spirit man, we're going to work on getting this guy to quit yelling at his wife. Now, if Earthhead heard that, he'd quit praying. He'd go, what? I'm not praying like that no more. I'm not praying like that. Oh, he brought this one up. I got a good friend named Jimmy Miller. He was the missionary in Poland that time we got to go to Poland. Now they pastor, him and his wife pastor a church in South Carolina. Anyway, Jimmy Miller is a wonderful guy. Funny. You guys love Jimmy. We all know Jimmy. And just funny. Love him and Deborah. But Jimmy, in the old days, not now, but in the old days, he could be just a little bit tight, a little bit stingy. He tells this story all the time. I'm not telling anything out of school. To him, I don't care what, you go to the best steakhouse in town, but a $5 tip was enough. Come on. I mean, you know, you just $5, that's enough of a tip. You don't need to leave any more. So that's Earthhead's. See, that's Jimmy's Earthhead. $5 is enough. You don't need to leave any bigger tip than $5. $5 is enough. But Jimmy prays in tongues. Father, communicating, spirit to spirit, the things which the Holy Spirit teaches, which is coming directly from God, talking to his son. And one day, the Father's will, or the Lord, revealed, and it got up to Jimmy's head. And you know what the instruction was? Jimmy, until I tell you otherwise, the price of the meal is the price of the tip. Jimmy had a revelation. We're going to Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, that's it. The Lord arranged it where every meal was steakhouse, Italian restaurant, somewhere nice. The worst one, I remember him saying, the meal was $300. You took people, you know, taking people. The meal was $300. Jimmy's, the tip. It's $300. They love Jimmy, by the way, at that restaurant. They get good service there. You know? So Jimmy starts, Earthhead got it. Earthhead's going, I got it, God. Please. Is that enough? Can we stop? God gave him 2 more weeks. I don't know really how long it went on, but finally God says, okay, did you learn it? Yes, sir, I learned it. I'll never be stingy like that again. Are you going to reflect me? When you give, are you going to reflect my personality? You're going to bless those people? You're going to listen and leave what I tell you? Yes, sir, I will. Yes, sir, I will. Okay. So God, isn't that a good example?
Yes.
Isn't that a good example? Look at this. I think you can be seated again. I think we're about done now. Let me finish reading you this little passage here. Again, yes. I'm always amazed when it shows up. It's like, magic bad. I don't know. I'm going to pick up there. I'm going to read just a little more. Now, I think we're about done. God, I love this. Do y'all love this? So the Holy Spirit says, many have known and have a reasonable concept that my spirit is not limited by geographical location. Most of my children have no difficulty with this. But most do have difficulty in understanding that my spirit is not limited by time. 1,000 years ago is today to him. 1,000 years from now is today to him. That concept is hard for the finite man to comprehend. But understand this. Your spiritual mind is not finite. If you just chew on that sentence for the rest of this week till you get it. I have given you the ability to comprehend these things in your spirit. The natural man cannot know them, but the spiritual man can. Think you it is harder or more difficult for my spirit to give you the answer to a problem that shall occur 10 years from today than it is to give you the answer to a problem that occurred 10 minutes ago? Time is irrelevant when it comes to the operation of my spirit. He is not bound by time. Okay, he gave me one more example. I'm going to close with this, I hope. I can hear the stomachs beginning to growl. About 5 years ago, it was five. One day we at a conference in Tulsa, this lady, you know, it happened to be my service, and sometimes we have prayer lines. And these were those days when I was learning more about word of knowledge and word of wisdom coming by vision rather than by voice. In the early days, I just always would hear him, and then I'd just say what I heard him say. But as time went on, then he began, you know, the language of the Holy Spirit really is dreams and visions. And I began having these visions. I'd stand in front of somebody and I'd see a picture. And very often, I mean, it just, you know, sometimes I would get confirmation and sometimes not. But I was learning. Anyway, I stood in front of this woman and I saw this picture. And I didn't know her at all on that day. Since then, I have. And she's from another state, Washington State. And I said, ma'am, miss, when I stand in front of you, I see you, but it's like you're silhouetted. And it's like behind you, I can see what looks like a circle, but it's an imperfect circle. It's kind of jagged edges, you know. And I see this imperfect circle, and it's full of horse prints. You know, like where horses have been. And I said, does that mean anything to you? Remember, we're on microphone, everybody's listening. And she says, no. Next person, please. And I felt bad. You know, I don't know how I finished praying. I don't even remember. My mind blanked out, I think, right there. Of course, the enemy just beats you over the head with that, you know. Year after year, 5 years go by, 5 years. And I just always would think about that. And I think, well, you know, hey, nobody's perfect. I missed it. Okay, you know, what can you do? You just do the best you can and go on. Well, over the period of time, I got to know Travis Klingman, who lives in Washington State, and I started doing meetings for him up there. Well, come to find out, that lady and her husband lived not far, and the husband works at a TV station in that area. And so Travis had arranged with that TV station when I went up there to record some TV programs while I'm there. Well, I don't think it was the first year. I think it was the second year I went. We drive up, and I knew that this woman, that guy there, I knew that that woman was his wife. Anyway, we drive up, I think it was the second year, and she's standing out front like this, just waiting on me to drive up. I'm going, oh God, that's her. That's the one where I blew it, you know. And I come up real sheepishly, you know, hi, how you doing? She goes, do you remember that prophecy you gave me 5 years ago? And I'm going, lady, I will never forget that prophecy. For all eternity, I will remember. She says, well, good, get in the van. I want to show you something. So we get in the van, we drive 4 or 5 blocks away, we get out, we walk into this field, and there's a corral. You know, pipe, have y'all seen a pipe corral? Made out of, you know, it's like 8-10 foot sections, you know, but it's kind of basically a circle, and there's several horses in it. And I see that, but there's a lot of corrals up there. It's cowboy country there. A lot of them. We walk up, and there's that corral. I'm not thinking too much about it at that moment. She stood me right here. And she stood in front of me. I've got it on my phone if y'all want to see it. If you want to see it afterwards, I've got this video on my phone. She said, record this. So she's standing there, and she points over that way, and there's this row, this apartment building there. She says, you see that window right there? I said, yes. That's our apartment. If I was standing in my dining room in front of that window and you were in there looking this way, you would see me silhouetted against the window. And right, keep and look in that same direction, you would see this horse corral. We're helping Travis in his rodeo ministry, helping get young people involved in rodeo, and through that we're evangelizing them. The man that owned this corral approached us a week or two ago, a little time ago. He said, I heard about your ministry where you're involved in rodeo and bringing young people to Jesus. He says, I've had this corral a long time. I really don't need it anymore. Could I give it to you? Now see, part of you wonders, why would God say something like that 5 years ahead? You reckon she knew what to answer? They don't have a lot of money. It costs money. The natural part might say no because it costs money. But 5 years ahead, this is so important in the mind of God. It's so a part of their calling. 5 years earlier, he had already said, yes. And I go, Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is it harder for him to give you an answer that may occur 5 years from now than it is to help you with a problem that occurred 10 minutes ago? We're just beginning to understand who we are and the realm that we're really from. All things are possible with God. Pastor, come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.